Huh. Remember.
Okay. So before I get to Rabbi Twersky's story, once again, good evening to everyone who's just joined. We're talking about prayer. And if you have an art scroll siddur, if you have one that looks like this or a little bit of a different color, but the art scroll, that would be great. And because we're in the early pages of the siddur, it's probably going to be around in the English, probably either 21 or 23, something like that, if you have the art scroll siddur. Okay, Brian, I'll let you let them in. And in the siddur, we talked about the 15 blessings that we say in the morning. That can be said. That are listed to be said in the morning, thanking Hashem for all the various things. We talked about them in quite detail over the last couple of weeks. After that, the last blessing is sort of a continuation, a long blessing, and it can be found on, like I said, depending on your edition version, either 21, 23, It's probably right in the middle of the page. Sherry, sorry, I know that you may not have an art scroll with you. We'll have to take care of that at one point. And the final blessing begins as follows. And they all begin with, "Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the Universe," right? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. They all begin, all of them. But this one ends as follows. Ha-ma'avir, who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. Which means that we thank Hashem who basically wakes me up. Now, before we said the blessing just previously, we thank Hashem who gives strength to the weary. In case, Shoshana, that's your question, but it'd be good to see you, Shoshana. And this question, and this blessing is who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. Now,
Rabbi, what page is this? I don't know what page. I have a women's siddur.
Okay, so if you have the women's, then
it says art scroll series. It says art scroll series.
If you have the women's, art scroll, Shoshana, like I do,
yeah,
it's yes, page 13. Thank you. If it's the Ashkenazi, it's page 13.
Oh, okay.
Ashkenazi 13. Okay, hold on, one sec. Okay, yeah, it says Shachas.
Well, it'll say that on all the pages.
Yeah. At the bottom, a little bit at the bottom. It says, "Blessed are you, Hashem." Yeah, there you'll see it. It's about two-thirds of the way down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I have that.
Good. Awesome. Thanks, Tracy. Thank you. So we are on this last blessing. It should be a series of blessings, and we are on the last blessing. And the blessing is we thank Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem, who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. And the question, in a way, that we need to ask, Shoshana, I'm just going to put your hand down, is why do we put this blessing at the end? This blessing of blessed are you, Hashem, who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids, should be at the beginning. That should be the very first one. Right? Ever wonder that, Eliyahu David? Ever wonder why this Amav Rishena is the last one of the series and not the first one of the series? It would seem to make sense that this bracha, this blessing, should be the first blessing of the morning. We have all these beautiful blessings. But who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids should probably be the first one. Yes, Tracy.
How is this different than Modani?
So Mode Ani is not a blessing per se. Mode Ani is a is my own awareness. And that can be said even before I wash my hands, because I'm not saying Hashem's name. It's just like a general phrase of gratitude. Thank you. Of gratefulness that I woke up. Now I'm thinking these are all blessings that we are saying Hashem's name later on in these blessings. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokim Melech Olam.
But aren't we opening? I mean, we normally open our eyes when we wake up.
Yes, but as I'm saying, so this blessing, one would think, that's my question. Why are we putting this blessing seemingly towards after all these other, the whole series of blessings? Seemingly, this blessing should be much earlier. Okay. Also want to welcome Brenda, Sherry, a couple of new faces to the to our class tonight. Welcome. Okay. So therefore, I would like to explain as follows. Get this. We had these 15 blessings that we said, right? They all began with, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, whatever it was. 15 blessings. Thank you, who gives sight to the blind, who gives clothes to the naked, who releases the bound, straightens the bend. All beautiful, beautiful blessings. And at the end, I make a blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. The worst way to make a blessing is the way I sometimes do. Because we're tired. I'm tired. And that happens to me during the day. I want to take a drink and like I just need a drink. And sometimes I don't concentrate on my blessing. It's like I can rattle out these 15 blessings in record time. And at the end of saying the blessings, I have to thank Hashem that who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids, that I'm cognizant, that I'm awake, that I can think about the blessings that I'm saying. It's not just about saying the blessings. It's about understanding understanding the meaning of my blessings.
Rabbi Heshi, can I ask a question? Brendan.
Yeah, sure.
Is this meeting all about blessings?
It's about really, Hashem? So tonight is really Tuesday, is the Ask the Rabbi. So there weren't any specific questions. We were able to ask a question about anything and everything, and you still can. So we're focusing, because we've been doing this for a long time, we've been focusing on prayer. Prayer 101. What is prayer? How do we pray? Like, what does it mean? And we've been talking about this for a little while as well. So after we talked about the intro to prayer, so now we're just going through the Siddur, just familiarizing people what a Siddur looks like, what's inside, what are some of the prayers inside of a Siddur. So prayer 101. And yes, you're allowed to ask questions about at any time.
I have a question.
Okay, and Brenda, and we're going to get to a very interesting story from Rabbi Twersky about addiction. So just stay tuned for that.
But
what's your question?
My question is, what if you don't trust Hashem anymore?
Ah, so very good.
Why would you want to pray?
Very good.
Pray
excellent.
To him?
Yeah. So I just don't want to go back, because we've talked about that a few classes ago, beginning, but it'll come out in Rabbi Twersky's story. Wait for the story. Just wait till you hear the story. Okay. So I was explaining that sometimes I just, you know, people call me a rabbi. Yeah, I pray. Could you daven? Of course I daven. Of course I pray. Are you saying the words? Or are you taking heart? Are you taking stock of what you're saying? So we put this blessing of, blessed are you, Hashem, King, who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids, that it should I should recognize that I need to be awake, that I got to this point of the blessings, and I was able to say the blessings with some honesty, with some vigor, that I meant it, that Hashem does all these things for me. At the end of the day, my heart is beating. No one can explain why. They can only tell me, as I say so often, science doesn't explain why. Science only says how. It doesn't say why. I'm alive. My heart beats because there's the Purkinje fibers, which sends electricity up to the AV node, and the AV node fires and da da da. Why? It's a good thing it does, because that's why we're alive. So, again, just to review a drop, we talked in the past about that. Hashem owes me nothing. Hashem owes me nothing. It's not like I did so much for God that, hey, God, what are you talking about? You know what you owe me? You know what's in the bank account that way? No, Hashem doesn't owe Hashem. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful, Hashem, for giving me another day on the planet. The opportunity to connect even more to Hashem. I thank Hashem for that ability. Can you imagine if your employee would walk in, just let's say you're a boss, you own whatever it is, you own a business, you own a grocery store, you own whatever.
FedEx.
FedEx, you own UPS. UPS. And every day, I didn't say that because I'm at the little level. And every day your employee walks into the company, gets on off the bus, they park their car, whatever it is, they walk into the office and they say, thank you for my job. It's pretty amazing. Not that I need anybody to change anything here, but I will say there's one person here who sends me a thank you note after every single class. Nobody has to start doing it. But can you imagine if somebody were to do that? And you're the boss, and every day, bar none, guy walks into the office, not only good morning, thank you for giving me another day at work. Because you can fire me at any time. What does the boss owe me? Okay, I'm a good employee. Okay, you'd have to train somebody else, until somebody else learns the job. I'm the boss. I can fire it at any time. And person comes in and says, has that gratitude. Thank you for giving me another day on the job. How do you think from the boss's perspective? I'm not talking about I'm the one coming in and saying thank you, but from the boss's perspective, I can tell you that no matter how many days that employee is going to come in and say, thank you for another day on the job, boss will never grow tired of hearing that thank you.
Rabbi?
Boss, just one second. Let me finish. The boss will never say, okay, just I'm busy. Just get to work. The boss will always have an appreciation for the employee coming in and saying, thank you for another day of work. Now, we don't do that very rarely. You know, every so often, maybe you get a raise, you get a paycheck, you get a, whatever it is. Rarely. But typically, we don't say thank you. We do over here. There's some hands up. So let me get to Stephanie, Elio David, and then Sherry. In that order. Stephanie, go ahead.
Rabbi, I talk to Hashem all day long. I ask for things like please help my mood get better. Stuff like that. Am I wasting my time? Is he only listening when I dove in from my safer or from Tehillim? Or does he listen to me talk to him about stuff like that?
Very good. Excellent question. Again, I'm not going to get too in-depth because we discussed this in the early days of this class on prayer. But very simply, the answer is no. Hashem listens all the time. And actually, I talked about it this past Wednesday as well, where we talked about the Parsha, how Hashem was listening even to the complaints of the Jewish people. Hashem listens to our complaints. He listens to our prayers. And we talked about at the beginning of prayer, and you can go back and listen to it. It's online. Some of the previous classes, some are online, that Hashem listens to all of our prayers. There is no prayer that goes unanswered. It may not give me the result that I want for me now, because I'm me and I want my result for me now.
But that's not me praying. That's me like asking for help from Hashem. It's not davening. It's not praying.
Correct. So we discussed.
Is he listening to me ask him for help? And
yes, that's what I'm saying. He's always listening, asking. Always.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome. Never give up. Elio David. Then Sherry.
So there's two comments. This last bracha, this last blessing, is more encompassing. We don't say amen at the end of it. We go all the way to the end of Hiratzin.
Right.
So it really encompasses a lot more than...
Yeah, I didn't get to finish it because... yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not telling you. I know you know.
Yeah.
But the second thing was, you know, you said that if a person came to a boss and said, thank you, it's so the opposite way. If a person comes to work, he expects you to thank him.
You're right. In today's day and
age, today's world, people, that's why we have no gratitude towards God, because we don't even understand where to have gratitude to people.
Right. That's right. Very good. We have so much expectations these days. if you don't treat me right, I quit. I'm doing you the favor. I'm the employee. I'm doing you the favor by working here. What, you think you're doing me a favor? I can get a job.
I remember learning there's three stages of employment: the euphoria when you get the job, the peace when you have the job, and then the third one when you decide that you're doing him a favor.
Very cute, Sherry.
When you were talking about this employee who was going into the office every day and thanking his boss for a job, to me, my interpretation is that he is weak, he is insecure, and he shouldn't have to go in and thank his boss for the job. I mean, I would think the guy's nuts for doing it, to be quite honest. I would want someone strong and confident to work for me, not a weakling that needs to be, oh, thank you very much. You know, it's brown nosing also, I think.
Right. So some people can look at it that way, but be the boss one day. One day be the boss and have such an employee and see what it feels like. You will find that the one who does it every day, day in and day out, is not the weak one. The one who does it day in and day out is actually the strong one. And the one that has a true appreciation. If you've never had it or you've never done it, you're just surmising. I'm telling you from the other side of the coin. Either try it to someone, or if you have a business or whatever it is, see if you can. I mean, you can't tell your employee, by the way, as part of your job description, when you come into the office every morning, you have to say thank you for your job. That would be interesting, actually.
Yes.
Indeed. I'm thinking that would be very interesting. You know, if I were to start a company today, I would want my employees to come in every morning and say, because for the same reason that Eliyahu David mentioned just before, that everyone to come and say, thank you for my job. I think it would change just so similar, the same way. And, you know, it kind of goes this way as well, Sherry, that, you know, when people come and they say good morning. So the people who come in and say good morning, does that make them weak because they're saying good morning? They're trying to be nice. I'm saying good morning. Doesn't make
that's
them
different.
Weak.
Yeah. That's
so saying good morning is also, it's something that is respectful. Mm-hmm. And that shows an appreciation. Good morning. I'm, you know, say thank you. And just so to the boss, we say thank you for giving me another day. There was some, I showed the, okay, I want to get to Rabbi Twersten's story, and there are more hands going up here. So guys, I'm going to ask to hold on with the hands, please, unless it's, okay, let me give Brenda, because Brenda's new. Tracy can, I'm going to ask you to hold on.
Brenda. No, it's fine, I put my hand down anyway.
Yes, Brenda.
Rabbi, you're saying that the things I want to know about was already dealt with in the beginning. I ask a question, you say, oh, we already handled that. We're moving on. That doesn't help me one bit. And
yeah, you're right.
I don't feel that I need to be here to hear that my issues have already been dealt with.
No, okay, so that's not what I meant. What I meant, Brenda, is that I didn't want to take up from the whole time from the whole group. Happy to talk to you separately.
I get it.
Before or after, you know, afterwards, or I'll direct you where you can listen to the previous classes so that, because it's hard just, as we say in Hebrew, al regel achas, like on one foot to, you know, to give over everything that I've said over the past number of weeks. So just have an appreciation, please, that you're sort of coming in, you know, halfway through. Hopefully you'll get what you can, but listen to the story. There's something to get everywhere.
I don't feel like thanking Hashem for a thing, so
okay,
you know, I don't know if
that's okay. Just listen, just be here, just listen. It's
you're saying to thank Hashem for opening my eyes and taking the sleep out of my eyes. Like, I find that a little far-fetched. But anyways, okay, I'll, you know,
just,
you guys are
just
listen,
you know, as we say in the program, it is an open mirror looking around. As we say in the program, that the only membership is the desire to stop using, which means the guy can be coming into the meeting, hi. But I have the desire to stop using. So that's sort of, you know, say just, you want to learn. You're here because maybe,
you know,
maybe
what?
There will be an understanding.
Rabbi,
as long as you have,
Rabbi.
Stephanie, just a minute, please. Hopefully, just keep coming back. You'll get there. You may not have it now. That's okay. But keep coming. That's why we learn. The class isn't a one-time thing. Let me get to the story. Why don't I read you the story? Rabbi Twersky says as follows. At a spirituality Shabbaton, a retreat, for people in recovery from alcoholism and drug addiction, there were a number of people who said that they did not wish to attend services. At all of these, you know, retreats, even the ones that I have here, we always have services. So people did not want to go. And therefore, it was decided to hold a discussion called Why I Am Not in Services. When I used to go to Jack's retreats, I actually used to lead this meeting for many years. Why am I not in services? We still had it here once, twice, whatever. Anyway, so here's the story. I will try, Rabbi Twersky says, to the best of my recollection, to convey the dialogue at that session, which was conducted by a rabbi. I attended, says Rabbi Twersky, as an observer. Rabbi Twersky was just the observer. It wasn't me. I was not chairing this particular one that he's writing the story about. One of the people in the group said, I can't pray. I don't believe in God. That's okay, said the rabbi. God believes in you, and that's enough reason to pray. That's a wisecrack, rabbi. I don't believe God exists. Am I catching anybody's attention here? What's your concept of God, of the God that others believe in? The rabbi asks. Did you hear the question? What's your concept of the God that others believe in? That's an interesting question. I grew up in an Orthodox home. This is what the person is responding. I grew up in an Orthodox home, and I was sent to Hebrew classes after school to prepare me for my bar mitzvah. I resented having to sit in a boring class while my friends were playing football. We were taught how to read Hebrew, but never what the words meant. After 4 years of this, I recited the Haftorah in the synagogue. I parroted a speech that I had spent many hours memorizing. We had a huge party. I got lots of gifts. That's the only part I liked. I was never taught anything in Hebrew school about God. So the rabbi says, you have every right to resent being deprived of a proper education. But why should that result in not believing in God? See, he said, we had a kosher home, he said. And if my father found out that I had eaten something at the home of a friend that was not kosher, he screamed at me and said that God was going to punish me for eating treif. Treif means, for those of you not familiar with the term, treif means not kosher. My friend's family seemed to be having a good life, even though they were not kosher at all. In fact, they had a nicer home than we did. I didn't see where God was punishing them. I went to shul with my father until my bar mitzvah. It was a big shul, half empty. All the prayers were in Hebrew, which I did not understand. People talked with each other during the services. The rabbi gave a speech in Yiddish. I had no idea what he was talking about. After the service, everybody went into the social hall for Kiddush. Some people drank to excess. I liked the Kiddush because I get all the wine that I wanted. I could not believe that God was going to punish me for having a piece of cake, or that he wanted me to get together once a week to recite prayers, which many of them I did not understand, and then celebrated all with drinking. The rabbi responded, you are in good company. The God you don't believe in, I don't believe in either. Are you familiar with the use of a computer? Asked the rabbi. Sure, the man answered. What's that got to do with God? How proficient is your father with a computer? So the man says, he doesn't know the first thing about computers. He can't program a VCR, even his phone. He grew up in a different generation. I'll do all that for him. The rabbi says, this reminds me of a story in the Torah. Elijah the prophet came across a man who was tying ropes to fashion a fishing net. Are you spending any time learning Torah? Elijah the prophet asked this fisherman. No, the man answered. I was not taught anything about Torah. So how do you know how to make a fishing net? The man, you were not born with that.
You know what? I forgot I was going on this.
Okay, so just mute it over there. Just put everybody on mute. So how do you know how to make a fishing net? You were not born with that skill. Did anyone teach it to you? Not really, the man answered, but I needed a livelihood and I decided that I would be a fisherman. I watched the other fishermen make nets and that's how I learned how to do it. Because earning a livelihood was important to you, says the rabbi. You found a way to learn something you did not know. If you know that Torah is important, you will learn to find a way to learn Torah too, said Elijah the prophet to this fisherman. Now the rabbi says, continues on. The rabbi says to this person, in your case, you knew very little about God because your father didn't teach you anything about God. You gave up on it. But your father didn't teach you anything about computers either. You were interested in learning about computers. You needed it as a livelihood. So you sought information, and now you're quite good at computers. If you would seek information about God as you did about computers, you could get to believe in God also, said the rabbi. Touche, says the man. How do I go about finding God? The rabbi says, by looking for him. That's the way it all started. Our ancestor, Abraham and Sarah, came to the conclusion that this marvelous world could not be an accident. There had to be an intelligent being, or in the program we call it a higher power, an intelligent being that created it. He lived in a pagan environment, did Abraham, and knew that the inanimate idols could not possibly be, idols could not be that intelligent being. He thought that perhaps the moon was God, or the sun, or the majestic mountains. Eventually, he concluded that none of these could be God, but that there is a God somewhere that created all these things. At that point, God revealed himself to Abraham and said, I am the one you are looking for. The Torah says, continued the rabbi, if you will seek God, you will find him. But it qualifies this. If you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. So the man says, the man replies to the rabbi, are you saying that if I search for God with all my heart and all my soul, I will have a vision and God will reveal himself to me like he did to Abraham? The rabbi says, I didn't say that. The Torah says you will find him. That doesn't mean you will have a prophetic revelation like Abraham. So the man asked the rabbi, well, what do I have to do to find God? So the rabbi says, you won't have the difficulty that Abraham encountered. First of all, you live in a monotheistic culture where the overwhelming majority of people believe in one God. Second, we have a wealth of guidance in several thousand years of Torah writings that Abraham did not have. But there's one problem with this search that Abraham did not have. Abraham was willing to go in whatever direction the truth led. He was fully committed that when he found God, he would subordinate himself to his will, regardless of the impositions this would make on him. His sincerity was proven years later when he did not hesitate to sacrifice his son. Some people today do not have that kind of dedication. They profess to believe in God, but are not willing to subordinate themselves to his will. When the divine instructions, as conveyed in the Torah, cause them some inconvenience, they change the Torah laws to suit themselves. The Torah promised that you will find God if you seek him, provided you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what Abraham did, and he found God. If you're looking for a God that will cater to your wishes, forget it. If you're looking for the truth and follow wherever it takes you, you will find God. This means that your search is not going to be easy. Many times along the way, you will run into things that become contrary to your own desires. Your natural inclination may be to chuck it away. I'd rather be comfortable. I'm not going to go to shul this morning. It's raining. It's snowing. It's too cold. I don't want to give up on some of the things I enjoy. But if you can overcome these hurdles and be persistent, you will find God. That was the message, the rabbi said. At that point, says Rabbi Twersky, I asked for the floor and said. So Rabbi Twersky now pipes it. That was the conversation between the rabbi and one of the people there. Rabbi Twersky says as follows. It's not only a question of giving up some things that one enjoys. There is a major ego problem that may even be more difficult to overcome than giving up pleasurable activities. I attended, says Rabbi Twersky, an AA meeting in Jerusalem. Related his drinking history and recovery. He said, when I first came into AA and heard that I had to turn my life over to a higher power, a God as I understand him, I turned around and left. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. My drinking got worse, and I realized I would die if I didn't stop drinking. I said to the group, look, I need this program, but I cannot pledge myself to something that I don't believe in. I'll follow everything you want except for the part about God. And the group said, okay, keep coming back. After a few meetings, I was told to get a sponsor, which I did. One day, my sponsor said to me, do you pray every day? I told him that I don't pray because I'm an atheist. He said, okay, then don't pray to God, but just pray anyways. I said, that's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense to pray if there is no God. My sponsor said, look here, you numbskull. I guess those were the big words back then. Right? Look here, you numbskull. Do you want to stay sober or do you want to get drunk? If you want to stay sober, then you'd better pray every day. And that's all there is to it. So the guy says, I didn't want to go back to drinking. So I started to pray. I have been praying every day for over 6 years. I still don't believe in God. But when I pray, that reminds me that I'm not God. One of the problems, that was the story. Rabbi Twersky continues. Rabbi Twersky says, he ends. It comes the end of this. One of the problems of the alcoholic is that he cannot accept that he has no control over his alcohol and that his life has become unmanageable. This is nothing but a delusion of omnipotence. The alcoholic thinks he can control everything. In other words, he's his own God. It's only when he relinquishes this delusion that he can recover. As was just said, we live in a monotheistic culture. Ever since people rejected paganism with its plurality of gods, reasonable people know that there is only one God. The Ten Commandments spell this out clearly. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Those are the first, that's in the Ten Commandments. To believe in God, one must surrender the idea of being one's own God. There cannot be two gods. As long as a person hangs on to the idea that he's in control of everything, he's being his own God and cannot accept belief in the true God. Giving up this delusion of omnipotence is not easy. A person may have a need for this grandiosity and will not give it up easily. Searching for God is bound to be futile as you think of yourself as being your own God. This ego may need to be so strong that you will find it a myriad of reasons why not to believe in God. It is not only giving up some enjoyable things that may cause resistance to believing in God. It is not seeing belief in God as a threat to our own ego. The discussion then switched to humility as a crucial ingredient in recovery. It soon became evident that the humility that is necessary for recovery is the same humility that can clear the way for finding God. And Rabbi Twersky ends by saying, that was the end of the meeting. The next day, this man was at services. I'm not convinced, he came over to Rabbi Twersky and he says, I'm not convinced, but I'm willing to give it a try, he said. Wherever it'll take you, I asked him. The man took a deep breath and he says, yeah, wherever it'll take me. Wow. I don't think I've ever read that story here. I'm blown away by that story. No, it's not easy. This is not God. This is not God. My glasses. Does it help me see? Yeah. Does it benefit me? Yeah. Can it do something that I can't do? I can't see. Can I put this on? I can see. Oh, great. This must be God, right? No. Who made this? Where did this come from? Where did I come from? And sometimes I need to ask myself that question. Where did I come from? Good, bad, or indifferent? Ask my mother what she feels like having been through the concentration camps and survived ghettos and concentration camps and labor camps. She believes in God. What? After all that? I'm not here to judge. I don't judge people who do believe in God. I don't judge people who don't believe in God. I don't judge anybody. That's why I do what I do, because I don't judge. And everybody here knows that. But I can tell you, and I think that it is evident from people who keep coming back here day in and day out, that they've had that opportunity to see a spiritual awakening, that they've had that opportunity to recognize, yeah, you know, every so often, it may not be the way I want it, the life that I wanted for myself, but that's me again. But I am alive. Why am I alive? What's making me alive? What's keeping me alive? I'm alive. I have a battery here somewhere. Somewhere I have a battery. I'll replace my battery. I took it out to the car. Replace my battery. I'm ticking again. That's not the way it works. You're going to eat something. We talk about this often here at the Chai Center, right? You're going to eat something. Tastes good. Yummy. Chew. Swallow. What happens? I don't know. Body. Do whatever you got to do to it. Just, you know, you take the nutrients, spit out what's not good, keep whatever is good. That's it. I swallowed. Beyond that, I don't know. I'm just the neck up, as we say. Numb me the rest of the way. I don't care what goes. Just make sure it happens. And I need to ask myself, there's got to be something that's keeping me going. I do wake up. I'm not in a coma, Baruch Hashem. Why not? Why did I wake up this morning? There are people who didn't wake up this morning. Why? What's the difference between me and them? Is it me? If I think it's me, that's my ego. You don't want to believe in God? Don't believe in God. But pray. Pray even if you're not praying to God. Because prayer is a good thing, and prayer makes me remember that I'm not God. And that I don't control everything. And to the people who call me up and say, Rabbi, but my life is like this. I lost my job. I lost, you know, my company went bankrupt. About my wife, my family, but whatever. You prayed every day? Are you from those devout Jews that, so if you were from the ones, I did it every day, and I've been doing it since I was young, and da, 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 and I do it right, and I do it with the right intentions, and I don't do any sins, and I keep shouting, whatever God wants, you have a problem. That's one thing. I'm not perfect. I'm not so perfect. I'm not the quintessential Jew. I've got my own faults and my own character defects. But I'm working on it. And I pray to God to help me with it. Honestly, I don't miss days. And if I can do that, and others who have taken that upon themselves have found a spiritual awakening, that's the what we talked about before. Who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids, who allows me to wake up and recognize there is a change in my life. You know, I talked about this last night. We had the men's meeting here in my home, and everybody was sharing whatever from all the shares and everything. I said it at the end. We're all moving forward. Sure, there are difficulties. Everyone's got their own, as we say in Yiddish, peckle. Sherry, speak some Yiddish. You don't know what a peckle is? Everyone's got their own whistle. Everyone's got their own package on the back. Everyone's got their own peckle. In their own way. And no one should be comparing, my problems are worse than your problems, because you don't know what problems someone else has. And to an extent, some people's lives might be a blessing compared. Your life might be a blessing compared to what you think other people's lives are. I wish I would. No, you don't. I know. And it's learning to be and accepting what Hashem has given me and my raising my awareness and my connection with Hashem. Remove sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids so that I can be a mensch. That's why I pray. I happen to pray to God. You don't want to pray to God? No problem. Pray anyways. It's good. All right, bunch of hands up. Shoshana. Can't see you, but I see a hand.
I'm forgetting what I wanted to say. It's so long. I'm waiting. Okay. So first of all, what I found out recently that when we sleep, our bodies go into, you know, when your arm dies, you know, when you fall, your arm falls asleep, our whole body does that while we sleep.
Okay.
But we're not aware of it. And so when you wake up, it makes sense to thank God that you didn't, you know, your body stayed, your body woke up, you know, your body woke up. And I never knew this fact. This is a fact that I got from Andrew Huberman, who is a scientist. He's a neuroscientist at Stanford University. I don't say this lightly. And the other thing is that the story that you told, Rabbi, I have no words, has been my mantra in the program for 30 years. I'm coming. I'm going to go to meetings. I'm going to have sobriety. I don't believe in God. And all it's done for me is robbed me of a how shall I say it? It's robbed me of a spiritual content that I have so refuted in my life. It's very sad. It's very sad. And it's not sad to the sense of, you know, but it's sad because of my stubbornness and my omnipotence, how you say, exactly, omnipotence. Because I believe that I can handle anything. Or and worse is that I think that when the, you know what, hits the fan, that I think I can handle that too. And I've not been able to. And maybe this is another, you know, pray anyways. I love that. Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing. You really, to an extent, you answered your own question, which is that you robbed yourself. Nobody robbed you of it. You robbed yourself. Chapter 4 in the big book is We Agnostics. Right? Is We Agnostics. No, chapter 4 is How It Works. I think chapter 3 is We Agnostics. And the big book, not coming from a Jewish source, is all about you better believe, come to believe in God sooner or later. Because if you don't, you're not going to find recovery if you're an addict of the worst variety. So even the big book is about belief in a higher power. Start with a higher power. Start with whatever you want. Pray, not even praying to God, but pray. As long as I relearn to remember that I'm not God. Stephanie, then Brenda.
I was told that sleeping is like 9/10 of death. So mm-hmm. You wake up in the morning and say, Moda ani l'fenecha melechai v'chayam shezartibi, because you're grateful to Hashem for waking you up to see another day, and you're not in that 9/10 of death. And I was also told by my rabbi in New York that you should never sleep on your back because you're sleeping like a person in a coffin. Wait. I don't know if that's just...
Sleep how you're comfortable. Sleep how you're comfortable. Okay? I give you permission.
To sleep on my back?
Sleep how you're comfortable is what I said.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
All right.
Thanks for sharing. Brenda. Thank
you. Rabbi, you know I came in the program and years ago, 1988, I came in the program.
I do.
And I came in with my higher power and it was strong because I had a magical experience. So it's not that I don't believe in God. I totally believe in God. I'm just really fucking angry at him. And the way I pray is I yell and scream at him. I don't know if that's considered prayer or not, but I don't believe in a Jewish, denomination of God. My higher power. That's the way I was taught in the Narcotics Anonymous program. I was a junkie for 20 years, so I was pretty, you know, drug addict as far as you can get, pretty much. And it worked for me all my life. It worked for me amazing, and I did really well for all my life until you know what happened, that I got that I lost my trust. I still believe there's a higher power, but I just don't trust them anymore, because if he could cause so much hurt and pain, why should I trust them? When I got older, I thought life would be more peaceful, not become insane with painful feelings. So, but I believe in him. I'm just really pissed off and I can't get over it. So far, it's been over 2 years. I can't get over it. So.
Come in.
Thank you for sharing.
And is yelling and screaming at him praying?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah. Scream at him.
I do.
As loud as you can.
Huh?
As loud as you can.
I do all the time. All the time.
Good.
I yell and scream. And
good.
If that's considered prayer, then I guess I'm praying. But
yes,
a God of a higher power of my own understanding. It's not a
that's okay.
Jewish.
That's okay.
Any denomination.
That's okay. God is non-denominational. He's bilingual. You can scream at him in whatever language you like.
Well, but I mean, you're talking about a Jewish God that wants all these blessings and prayers and that kind of thing.
God doesn't want anything. God has no wants. Just well, ask Eliyahu David. God has no wants. It's me that I have to recognize how connected am I? If you're screaming at God, hey, that's good enough for now. But please, please, Brenda, keep coming back to us and learning. Keep screaming, but keep coming back. I had somebody yesterday at the men's meeting. I'll just, obviously, nameless, says, these meetings, they're all so repetitive. I don't know why I keep coming back to these meetings. Everybody keeps saying the same thing. Ah, you, blah, blah, blah. They're all so repetitive. I said, yes, I was using drugs. Using is also repetitive. If you can stop that. So keep coming back. Please.
Well, I don't use drugs anymore.
I know. I just kidding. I was just using that as an example. That just, you know, it's repetitive. Good. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep screaming and keep coming back.
I don't feel like that's a solution, but I don't know if I'll ever find a solution.
Well, it can't hurt to try. I'm offering. But we'll
come back, Brenda.
Eliyahu David.
I just want to by saying that This is probably one of the best meetings that I've been to in a long time. I'm probably thankful to the newcomers that are here. I want to tell Brenda that my specialty was anger. It was it tore me apart. I want to tell her also that when I met the rabbi, I told him, I don't hate you. I hate everybody that looks like you. I told the rabbi I'm going to scream at him. And he said, I asked him if I can scream at him. And he said, yes, you can scream at me. I needed somebody to scream at. I needed somebody who looked like he to scream at.
Are you talking about God? Or are you talking about me? Because I'm not God.
No, you're not God. But by screaming at you, I was able to come to a peace with God. One of the things about myself is that I lost my family through my addiction. They're alive, Baruch Hashem, but I have nothing to do with them. And I had a very large family. And I worked very hard to bring them up. And they were my entire purpose in my entire life. And only one day when somebody came to me and said, you're so lucky you have family, I realized what the rabbi said. You know, other people's lives seem to be okay, but you don't know what their pain is. And we don't know what our blessings are. And until you search for God, which means you search for your blessings, that's where you find God. You find God in the positivity and in your blessings. Anyways, thank you for letting me share. I'm so happy I came tonight.
Wow. Thanks for sharing. Tracy, it's 8:30, but let's just...
Yeah, I'll make it very short. Thank you, Brenda and Sherry for being here. Thank you, Rabbi, for recording it so I could listen to it again. I like what you said, or what Brenda said, is that as long as we're, even if we're screaming and yelling at him, it means we recognize that he's there, and that it's better to scream and yell than not to be connected at all. So there's that. And then I think my understanding now is that when we say this blessing about having our eyes open, is that we're fully awake and cognizant. I mean, when we say Modeini, we're kind of like laserish, right? It's like, I'm up, but I'm not totally up yet. But this is like a full cognizant blessing of I'm up, my eyes are open, ready to go, ready to face the day. Thank you for helping me, get up and get ready to face the day. So it's the laserish. Hazerish, whatever, to fully, face washed,
Okay. Very good.
Bright and ready to go. So that's how I understand it. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing. Yael, is it quick?
Yeah, I just want to say something. Regarding the rabbi that was with Rabbi Tversky, I'm sure it must have been a Lubavitcher, because one of the lines is that the typical, line of the Rebbe. The Rebbe used to say, there's a famous story. What's it called when somebody says they don't believe in God? What's it called?
Atheist.
When an atheist came to me, he said, "I don't believe in the same God you don't believe in."
Yeah, so, that's a standard line. We all use that line.
Yeah. So
I can't say specific. Maybe yeah, maybe no, maybe it was, maybe that doesn't affect the story neither here nor there. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I just got. Yeah, I haven't been this passionate on a meeting, I guess, in a little while. I am sweating bullets. It's a good thing you're not here. I'm spitzing through and through. So I want to thank everybody for joining. And we're going to be back here, God willing, again tomorrow night at 7:30 for our Brian's favorite meeting, A Spiritual Awakening. That's what it's all about. Step 12 in the program, A Spiritual Awakening. So Brenda, Tracy, Yaley, Brian, Shelley, Sherry, Denise, Jeff, Lori, Leo David, Stephanie, Arlene, Shoshana, Baruch, Mervin, Carol. I gotta get those three shishes in there. I got Shoshana, Shelley, Sherry, 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 Sherry. Try and say that 10 times quickly.
a lot of
time. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. We'll see you back tomorrow night, God willing.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
He wants to know if tomorrow is live.
Brenda, can I just talk to you for a minute? I want to say something to you. Is the class over?
Yeah, sure. Can I see you?
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Wait a minute. Why do you want to see me?
Because I see everybody else.
Okay, you see me. Okay. See, I look like not good. But anyways, Brenda, I want to say to you that I relapsed after six and seven years of recovery in 19 whatever. And I went to the Montreal Torah Center, and there was a rabbi new there who is a Lubavitch rabbi, also very, very, very involved in community, a young rabbi, younger. At the time, I think he was 40, so he would be maybe 60 now. So he was a very young rabbi, and I'll never forget, he said, your relationship with God is your relationship with God. And if you're angry at him, you have every right to demand and yell at him, and because it's your relationship with him and no one else's, and no one has the right to tell you how to talk to God, because it's nobody's business how you talk to God. So I love the fact that the rabbi said, just pray. Doesn't matter if you're believing, because that's what I have to do now, because I've never been a big believer, and I've had miracles happen to me lately that are so miraculous that there's got to be a divine intervention for that to have happened in my world right now. So I am truly grateful, and please, it's your relationship with God. That's all I have to say.
I'm happy for you that you're experiencing these wonderful miracles.
Thank you.
I had that in the beginning of my recovery a lot, and throughout my recovery I had a lot of that, a lot of magic things. But I'll say I lost my daughter took her life, and I just can't comprehend.
Right. I'm sorry.
And so many people got hurt, not just me. Lots of people got hurt as a result of it. So the people that, like, she's the one that took her life, and yet all us other people that weren't, we had no clue, and yet we're all still affected to this day. 2 years later, we didn't do anything. We didn't, you know, and ever since that time, and I keep asking for the help, because I was a lot better off when my relationship was good with my higher power. And I don't like it that it's like this, but I just can't get over it. So, you know, it's just...
it's hard.
And it's not just me, like I said, so many people, all her girlfriends, you know, are deeply hurt. You know, one of her girlfriends got PTSD, what is it called, PTSP or PTSD over it, and she's still in therapy, you know, like, what did we do? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we got hit by somebody else's action, and so many people got hit and affected and hurt by it. And so I'm going like, what the fuck?
Okay, Brenda, Brenda, no swearing, please, because.
Okay, that's the way I talk, but anyway, I swear when I talk. But I won't if you're asking me not to.
Swear at God.
Well, I do all the time. Wow. But, you know,
I told you he's bilingual.
I'm glad you're amused, Rabbi.
Brenda, how many years do I know you?
I know. I love you. A lot of years, but that's why I can be real with you.
Same here.
Wonderful. Brenda, you know, I have to tell you that I've gone through such darkness in the last 5 years of my life that that's been an option for me, a daily option. I thought about suicide daily. And I have to tell you that personally, it's an out. It stops the noise. You know, that was in my mind. That was how I'm sure. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry you lost your daughter. It's terrible. But Brenda, life goes on.
What?
We haven't had a talk like this. Well, since Sophie passed away, we talked a little bit. But before then, it's been a long time. I just want to say, because of our relationship, I told you how much of an impact you can make here at the Chai Center. Look what you're doing. Look what an impact you're making.
Whoa.
You're helping other people just by being here. Look what impact you made. Please keep coming back.
Rabbi, and nobody's mentioning the ladies group that I'm not sure if she's aware to join us. She's
aware. I've made Brenda aware. Okay. I've made Brenda aware. Okay. But thank you.
I'm very slow to come around. I don't come around quickly. I come around slowly, as Rabbi knows. Okay.
Yep, you made it here. I thank you for that.
Well, thanks Sherry for it, because Sherry got me here.
Yep. Sherry and I had some coffee. Well, we didn't have coffee. We just had a meeting.
Sherry, we're talking about you. Sherry, wake up. She's sleeping.
Sherry, wake up.
She's sleeping.
All right.
Sherry, wake up. There she goes. Bye-bye.
Yeah, she's on. She has.
My mother used to do that.
Yeah, no, she's on a number. She's on a number of painkillers that for her situation.
But she's my closest friend, Sherry. She's.
No, we had a great meeting.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it was good. I don't know how I put any kind of positive input into it, but
can I say something, Brenda?
Who's that? Hey, Denise.
It's yes. Denise.
Denise, I've known you, Brenda.
I've known you for a long, long time. I came in the late 90s, and I know you from Jax, and you probably don't remember me, but whatever. And I'm terribly sorry for your loss. There are no words.
Thank
but you.
You
know what you've done for me? I am, I have my own story and my own story with Jewishness. And you know what you've done for me, Brenda? You've made me so very grateful that I come to this meeting every day. Because you know what? I haven't had an easy life. I haven't gone through what you've gone through. But coming to this meeting helps me keep my head above water. And you've made me, like, I don't think about hurting myself. And I have a desire to carry on and move forward and face life as it comes. And I strongly believe it's from coming to this meeting and finding strength and belief. And I swear it's one day at a time. So I'm really glad you came tonight. And I hope you keep coming back. I feel better being here. And I hope the same for you.
Thanks, Denise. I hope so too.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm glad you're finding
a little peace. A little peace. That's all. You know what I'm saying? That's all I want. Because life's hard. Yeah. Anyways, thank you.
Everybody's pain is their pain. Everybody's pain,
yeah,
I think is the same. My pain's no worse than your pain or anybody else's pain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pain is pain.
It helps just to be here every day. Because the rabbi has a very positive attitude. And I think it rubs off on me a little bit.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I know. He really does. Always has.
Yeah. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Thank you.
Brenda, I'm glad you got a chance to meet some of the women of the Chai Center. Very positive. Yeah. Very positive.
Yeah.
And I'm Brenda, I'm in Fredericton, New Brunswick. I'm very far away from Toronto. And I have my own story. And but I'm thankful for every day to be with Rabbi Heshy and the group because they've helped me a lot. My son lives in Toronto. And it's a long story, but we can all relate.
Everybody's pain is their pain, right? We all, pain is pain. That's one thing I've learned about from going through all this pain. No, my pain's no worse than anybody else's. Everybody's pain is pain.
But stick together because we get through it together. Mm-hmm. Only when we share our pain does it start to become more manageable.
Well, I still go to NA meetings. I mean, that's where I got clean and that's where I found my higher power. And that's where, you know, that's where I lived all my life. I'm 70 years old now. I feel like can't wait to get the heck out of here. I don't want my eyes to open in the morning. I'd like to leave.
You don't look a day over 69 and a half. No, you look thank beautiful you so for much. Your
age. Can you imagine if I would have made a statement like that?
I'd be suing you.
Yeah.
I'd have a lawsuit against you. No, I would love to hear it.
You look beautiful, Brenda.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
You look wonderful for your age. What? And for any age, you look wonderful.
You got to see me without the filters.
Me too. Me too. The rabbi asked me to come. He wants to see me live to make sure I'm alive. I'm alive. Are you okay? Are you really okay? Yeah. Yeah. Lovely to be here tonight. This is a great, great meeting. It really is. It's a wonderful meeting. I'm truly grateful I came tonight.
Brenda, hope because to see there's you a lot of back. Personal stuff that was put online, do I have permission to add this to my online meetings and whatever? Usually,
yes, you do. Of course.
Thank you.
I'm not. I'm very transparent.
Usually, I don't put on. Stuff that gets a little bit heavy, but doesn't go out to the world, but it is available on the website. Sure. But thank you.
No problem.
Love you all. Good night.
Yes, good night.
Good night,
Brenda.
Everyone.
Hope
good
to
night,
see
everyone.
You again.
Yeah, I'll
I
be
hope
back.
You come back.
I'll be back.
Lovely and very nice. Sherry, I think the rabbi
come back.
Yes, it's very nice. I would like to maybe meet you guys and we could, you ever come, you should come. The rabbi has Sunday class in the morning and it's live at the village shul. So why don't you come and I'll meet you and we'll have bagels because the rabbi has bagels for everybody. But
Montreal
you have to tell him how many
bagel.
He has to pump. Right. Not Montreal style. It's not Montreal. It's
one
Toronto.
Time I brought bagels like- right from Montreal.
It's you brought bagels. One time we had Montreal bagels. Now we have Toronto bagels. It looks like a big cake. You could sing happy birthday on the cake. Wonderful. Anyways, I hope I get to meet you live. And it's a good group. I've had my own struggles with it and with the people here, but it's all in all, in essentially, it's a wonderful group.